The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Monday morning, November the 16th, 7 minutes after 7. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And I'm here, of course, with Eric Wittstrom, who is president of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank, is my co-host today. And that's, we started out with the Marseillaise.
You ever see the lyrics to that?
Oh, it's a...
Holy smoke.
I tell you, my favorite rendition of that is out of the movie Casablanca.
Oh, yes.
If
you remember
that?
Yes.
When the Germans are singing their marching song, and the Frenchman who had been tortured by the Germans and stood up, and he went over to the band and said, play the Marseillaise. And they all kind of looked around. They looked to Rick, Humphrey Bogart, who nodded. And they started playing, and they started singing, and all the French stood up and out sang, drowned out the Germans. It was really quite, I thought it was a very pivotal point of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Kind of slunk.
Anyway, good morning, everybody. We're going to talk about what happened, of course, this over there in France here. We have today, we've got Leah Tate will be on talking about her run for city council, but also Chris Paranto, who should be calling around 8. But I tell you, it's been bouncing back and forth. I think 8, who knows when it's going to be. Because he's busy, and I think he's driving right now to talk about tonight, 13 hours of Benghazi, which takes on even a more of an impact to me after what happened Friday.
Oh, it should be a wonderful
I think so.
Get-together. Yeah.
Okay, what's the weather look like right now, Bob?
Sunshine, a few afternoon clouds, slight chance of a rain shower. Today's high should be about 58 degrees. Partly cloudy as we head into the evening hours with a low around 43 and a bit frostier at the higher elevations. Right now in Reading, we are recording 32 degrees. This report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Better known business right here in our fair city. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Our customers are warm friends out there. And I tell you, when it's 36 degrees out there, you want to be a warm friend with somebody. veteran and senior discounts, 365-3793. This morning, I was a warm friend with Linda and Elk Killer, who I was surrounded by that, and I thought that was pretty cool. Was it chilly out where you are?
It was chilly. I think the thermometer hit 30 on the way in this morning.
Whoa!
Frost on the windshield, you know.
A little frost on the pumpkin there?
A little frost on the pumpkin, but it's good to see fall here. We had a nice little rain yesterday to knock the dust off. Wonderful.
I'm trying to hang myself with my.
Don't do that.
Trying to
please
hang myself with my
hang in there.
With my ear with my headphones here. Okay, hey, France, in that attack that occurred on Friday.
Now they're connecting the dots that one of the suicide bombers came in with the influx of migrants. And they said it wasn't going to happen.
Of course it's
going to
happen.
Poor women
and
children.
Of course it's going to happen. And they said, oh, well, you know, hey, the Iraqis and the Israelis warned them. Well, the Iraqis said that they had intercepted a message that for the people from ISIL had sent out to their teams to attack the people in the coalition and other countries. Well, I mean, and as France says, we get those every day. We get those several times a day. But here's the thing is, it was a if you look at the timeline, it's like a half hour. I mean, from the time they started. Now, it took them a little bit longer once they were inside that theater. And they were in there for a while before they charged the theater and tried to take them down. And even in there, they killed 79 people in that theater.
A lot of people in
there. And then blew up their suicide vest. People, they said, were begging for their lives, begging for their wives' lives. Guys went up there to beg for their wives' lives, and, you know, they threw hand grenades at them. So this is the type of people that you're going to be dealing with out there. These are the type of people you deal with. These are types that they didn't go after
a military
target or even a political target.
Right.
They didn't
indiscriminately went after people, and it was it's horrible.
But Carl, all we have to do is engage them and understand them.
Well, bring them to the table.
The French brought them to the table this morning.
I think so.
Or yesterday, when they blew up, and they blew up their camps and everything, and hit them really hard with like 20 different airstrikes. That's the way to bring them to the table. And whether you like, you know what? Here it is, Rivera.
Oh my gosh,
Geraldo, did you see him?
Yes.
He was. His daughter's over there. His daughter was there. At the soccer game.
And he was going to...
Of course, all the people in the soccer
team... Send a plane.
Oh, they won't let anybody in or out. You know, but, you know, there's Geraldo. And then he turns, he says, I'm starting to believe, and this is editorial, that Donald Trump is right. You got to bomb the crap out of him.
It took it to hit home for him to realize that.
How about that? What do you think about that, Geraldo? And someone when your little girl's out there, she could have been walking through that gate when the guy set off the bomb.
When he was turned away at the gate and stepped back and pushed the button.
And he killed one person, and then the next person at another gate didn't kill anybody but himself. So I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah,
I mean, how do you?
It wasn't the most effective. It was not an effective.
Yeah,
it's very fortunate.
Well, they don't get to practice.
No. I shouldn't laugh. Sorry.
This is one of those, you know.
It either works or it doesn't.
It either works or it doesn't. Yeah. And if you know, there's, okay, you got to get in this one position. Oh, you know what? It didn't work this time. Maybe I should turn sideways. Yeah. But the bottom line is that then you hear, and this is the one that really gets me. This is what you hear. Well, these people, they had access to those guns. And in this country, in America, they'd have even more access to guns.
Oh, for Pete's
sake. I mean, can you believe they actually said that? Now, here's France, which has a very stringent anti-gun, you know, philosophy.
Philosophy with people with Kalashnikovs.
Yeah, and then these guys walk in there with Kalashnikovs, and everybody's sitting there sitting ducks. It has come down to this, that the main part of it went on for a half an hour. They stopped into restaurants and started spraying the restaurants. They killed 12 in this one, 15 in this one, 7 over here, the 79 there, and wounded 356 people. Now, if they came into a theater and say they came into the Cascade, what kind of damage could they do? Are people prepared for that? A lot of people are.
There'll be some.
At least it'd be a firefight. At least you could be shooting back at them. And, you know, anyway.
No, it's just a horrible.
It is a horrible.
Horrible.
My heart goes out.
Circumstance. Group of circumstances. And I think we need to take, some direct action.
We need to. We do. And none of this, you know, I can't believe that President Obama in the same day said we have ISIL contained. He said that on the same day. We have ISIL contained. Contained, really? And this is the JV team? Well, if this case, there's a JV team on an away game that did, you know, that won. So, I mean, this is just pathetic. That when you say things like this, that it's contained. Well, okay. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. Sleep Number. You know, that was kind of the high point of the whole weekend, was being able to sleep in my Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 45. Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40. And the thing is that now I have, you know, I have the new Sleep Number pillow, temperature balancing pillow. Okay, you're saying, what's that? That's the pillow that you sleep on. And it comes, absorbs the heat, and then kind of it diffuses out, and it just it stays cool all night, and it's and it shapes to your head. I really like this pillow. I used it, you know, I've been using it now for a couple of weeks. First, I wasn't sure, you know, because I have my favorite pillow. Everybody, don't you have a favorite pillow? I do.
Yes.
Everybody
yes.
has a favorite pillow. I mean, you know, enough so that sometimes you want to just carry it with you when you're traveling, because the pillows in hotels aren't, you know, I mean, they're like sleeping on a sandbag sometimes. A large mean sandbag where you've got your own pillow. Well, this one has become my favorite pillow. Sleep temperature balancing pillow. It absorbs heat and then releases it, and so you stay cool all night. And where can you get that? Yes, you can go right down to our Sleep Number store and see your Sleep Number pillow. See, you can save 30% right now on the temperature balancing pillow. Made in America, rated number one by Consumer Reports. You can't get any better than that. Than Sleep Number.
What happens when Elk Killer is on the Sleep Number pillow?
Oh, no. Elk Killer knows better. Okay. Elk Killer goes. Has inherited the other pillow. No.
the backup.
The backup pillow. No. Sleep. No. The temperature balancing is mine now. Hey, head on down to the Target Shopping Center. Go on over and see Brian Janis or any of the pros down there at Sleep Number. This is your chance. You need to get somebody. You know, you're looking for that perfect Christmas present? Eric.
Yes.
This is the perfect Christmas present.
What?
It is. I mean,
I need to go shopping.
You need to go shopping. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Eric Wittstrom.
NorCal Limo, the ultimate in luxury limousines.
This is Jamie with NorCal Limousine. Here at NorCal Limo, we specialize in group transportation, birthday parties, proms, weddings, Manton wine tours, ladies' night out, guys' night out, Christmas light tours, concerts, and we service all the major airports. Don't worry about parking fees and wasted gas money. NorCal Limo will pick you up and take you anywhere in the North State area. Packages start at $150. Enjoy the finest in expertise and precision with the newest limo in town. Check out our website at www.norcallimo.com or give us a call at 276-8851.
Licensed and insured, PCP 31143.
It's either nuclear, coal, oil, or gas, right? Actually, there is another affordable energy choice. Now is the time to think solar. It's safe, clean, efficient, and puts money back in your pocket. Solar systems may reduce your energy bill as much as 50 to 100%, and you're also eligible for an energy tax credit. With so many solar dealers available to install systems at your home, how do you find the right one? Advanced Power of Reading can help you make that choice. Whether just getting educated about the savings and benefits of solar to helping you understand all the different bids, Advanced Power has the answers. So if you ever wondered how much it would cost to go solar, stop wondering. Call Advanced Power at 226-0701 for your free estimate. Fight back rising energy costs with a solar system from Advanced Power. 843 North Market Street, Reading. In business in the Reading area since 1978. That's 226-0701 to start reducing energy costs today.
Are you an artist, artisan, craftsman, or purveyor of fine goods?
Come be a part of Red Town Market,
Reading's new holiday tradition.
You'll have the opportunity to showcase your work and goods to thousands in our community.
There'll be live music, wine tasting, local coffee roasters, and vendors just like you, creating an amazing retail experience to kick off the holiday season. That's November 28th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Apply online at readingcivic.com
or call 229-0036.
Red Town Market is a juried event. Vendors are considered independent contractors and are solely responsible for federal, state, and local laws regarding permits, sales tax withholding, reporting, and all other legal requirements.
Red Town Market, your new holiday tradition.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. With Carl Bott, Eric Witchgill, president
Morning.
Of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank.
Yes, sir.
Is the what's the weather for the business climate around here?
I think it's improving. I think we're seeing starts. We had the Shasta Venture Hub, the EDC's tech hub, open last month, and I think there's a lot of energy up there, young energy and new energy.
They were on the show.
Yes, yeah. Then I think that's a positive. I think there's some. We're seeing some businesses look for property in town to build and start.
Wow.
And move to. So.
That's right, because you're in the middle of those kind of things.
Yes, yeah.
November 20th to the 22nd, in fact, startup weekend at the Shasta Venture Hub. This
there
is cool. They invited me down for this. Yeah. And I might just have to go down there just to see that first day on Friday where they collaborate and brainstorm with a team. And then the second day, develop a business, prototype a product. And the third day, present your product, launch a business. And what this does, whether you've got a product or not, or you're just going down there to see how it happens, I think this is great. And then this is nationwide.
Yes.
And internationally. They're going to put their best idea up against a bunch of others. I think it's great.
No, it is.
And now, Mark LaSalle.
Yes, he announces retirement. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be. And they asked Hope. Hope, you'd be interested in this? She goes, no.
Is that right?
She said it right. No.
Oh, goodness.
I saw the article. Well, you know what? Hope has been here, and she's got obviously. Yep. She heads up the entrepreneurial part.
She's done a great job with her portion of the Shasta EDC.
And she said no. I think I'm where I belong right here. So it's going to be interesting. Now you've got Doug Wright, who is
announced
his running for
he's
put an exploratory committee
together. I saw that
to run against LaMalfa. And then we have today Leah Tate's going to be here. She's running for city council. I'm interested to see what Leah thinks about a number of different things, including the front page of Sunday's paper about pay raises and the amount of money people are making here in the city of Reading. Which is
holy mackerel.
Does it seem
it's a lot.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, it
seems like a lot.
It does seem some of the numbers are big.
Yeah.
And
I don't count it's more than a governor. Yeah, but you know what? That's Starman had a point. He said, the guy's running for office. You're hiring us to do a job. But still, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
And they're paying 7%, I guess. Some of them are paying 7% of their health. But the county pays 15%. I saw that in there. That's interesting. I wonder how our policemen, we have good policemen.
They have very good policemen.
But their pay, I heard their pay ranks really high.
I haven't looked at their
recently.
Haven't
looked at that either.
But, it's,
we got good policemen.
It's as good a pay as they're going to get anywhere in the county.
The county. I mean, the county. We train up a deputy sheriff, and he goes to work someplace else. He doesn't even have to move, and he gets like a 25% increase.
Right, and we've. It's the whole public servant salary scale.
How do we stack against other cities of similar strata in California?
I think the question is, how do we stack against other cities that they would want to go work for? And I think they want to be here.
That is a good point because it's not against just the cities of 90,000.
It's not like looking comparing it to Roseville or to Stockton or something like that. It's where do they want to live?
We
chose to live up here because we wanted to live up here, and the pay is different for a banker up here than it is in a bigger city, but it's adequate.
But
laughing at.
Nothing.
Trying to get kids through college. Holy smokes.
Yeah, okay. That leads me to other questions, too.
Okay.
But this is something I want to talk to Leah about, because if she wants to run for city council, Leah, do you think this is fair?
Probably
they're making
start
this
forming
much more,
a position.
But
on
here's
it.
The worst part.
And then, we talked earlier, the ability to retire.
54?
And do you fault anybody? No. If you had the opportunity, you should. But I think that, when people are hitting the prime of their, they've spent time learning a job, learning skills, learning management skills, and they're hitting the prime, and then their retirement take-home pay is more than if they continued working. Well, it's a no-brainer from an individual point of view, but it's
the system is wrong. Yeah, the system's wrong.
Yeah.
Because even the government, the services,
yep.
People, you know, we used to get, at the end of 20 years, you'd get 50% of your pay.
Okay,
when you retired.
Mm-hmm.
And for every year after that, you would get 2.5% more, up to 75%. Which is at 30 years.
Okay.
Even if you spend 35 years and you're not going to make any more money, that's it. You're topped out, you know, even after 30 years. No more than 75%. Here, you can work to age 54, as we've seen two guys are getting out, Rod Dinger, who's a good guy.
Great.
And then Duvernay, who retired at $150,000-something. He was 52 or 53, something like that. I guess he might have been 54. But he retired. And now, I mean, how can you retire at that age? That's not a retirement. So what they did with the military was they cut that back. At eight, you know, when you hit 20, you got a percentage of that because they figured you could, unless you were medically retired or you had disability, they said, you know what, guess what, you're going to be able to work from age 44 or 46 on for at least another 20 years. When you hit 65 then or around that, then you can start getting the rest of that money.
Right. And I think that's a great observation and you know, should be something that the new candidates, the candidates for the city office, you know, should have a plan or a policy for and be able to address that. I think, you know, having people work longer in their position lowers retirement costs, it lowers replacement costs, and would free up money for more police, firemen, public safety. So
it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know, and then as you know, as one of our people say here is that they take the retirement and then they come back up and they work for the city again.
That if they're an engineer or a professional, have a professional certification, they then represent people that are working with the city because they know how to, and that's obvious. But I've had this feedback kind of quietly from people that are, you know, collegial, don't want to stir the boat, but they say that, you know, when they leave and do that, then the people that have spent their life building an engineering firm or a consultation firm or a, you know, planning firm, they're now competing with them, and they're already on a retirement, so they can offer their services at a lower cost than the professionals that are trying to do it for a living. So it's just kind of
it's kind of like an unfair competition type thing. Oh yeah.
So
Tonight, Chris Peronto, of course, 13 hours is going to be here at the Civic. Tickets are $35, but if you buy 10 tickets, as someone did, someone bought 10 tickets for the Peronto event and gifted them to the U.S. Army recruiters here in Reading.
Wow.
Maybe there's some other active duty military. The tickets are $35, but if you buy 10 of them, you can get them for $25 a piece.
Okay.
To gift them out to the military that way.
But I've got two.
You've got two. I've got two. Peronto, by the way, is should be calling in. We've gone his handler. I'm gonna call her. It's not his handler, but when he tries to set these things up, is giving me four different times, starting now sometime tomorrow. I said tomorrow's not gonna help. But Peronto here is it's gonna be good, and I'll tell you why. 13 hours Benghazi. I think what you're gonna see is somebody talking about from his area, from what he saw there. He's not gonna be able to talk about what happened 10,000 miles away. But he can, I think, is going to tell you what I think, and we're going to ask him when he calls in, could they have saved Stevens if they'd been turned loose right then? If they'd been told, yes, because they were screaming for help for hours before they finally got over there. Could that have been prevented, one? And, you know, just some other questions like that. And and for people to say, as Clinton said that it was for the videos, but at the same time was telling Chelsea in her emails, and it's been proven, oh, no, this is an Al-Qaeda thing. So this whole thing, you know, the whole cover-up and everything because of the election, it was just – it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And look where we are right now in what's happening in France and other places around the world and ISIL trying to build a caliphate in the Middle East. And what are we doing? We send 50 special force guys to Syria, and we tell everybody we're doing it. Oh, let's keep that one covert. Anyway. I'm here. It's, gosh, it's 7:30 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, where they treat people well, been in the top 100 hospitals for 3 years in a row, top 100 hospitals in the nation for 3 years in a row, and then top cardiac hospital in the nation, top 50 cardiac hospitals in the nation. So, I mean, you can't get any better than Shasta Regional Medical Center, treating people well. We'll be right back after these messages.
The ocean, the head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Are you ready for an all-new experience of medical care where your doctor listens and takes the time they need to care for you? Then Cherry Creek Healthcare has the answer. At Cherry Creek Healthcare, we don't just care for you, we also care about you. We are open to partnership health plan members and all Medi-Cal patients in Shasta County. It's time to experience the medical care you and your family deserve. Redding Rancheria's Cherry Creek Healthcare, transforming medical care in Shasta County. Locate us on the web at cherrycreekhealthcare.com or call us today at 768-2436 to make an appointment today.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Mail upgraded, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl Bott and Eric Woodstrom. Eric is my guest co-host today, president of the Northern Division of the Five Star Bank.
Good morning, Carl.
Empire.
The Northern Empire.
The Northern Empire. 36 degrees out there, going up to 57 today. 36 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You know, they have discounts for seniors and veterans. On the you're invited to Forever Our Fair benefit dinner and dance, all-you-can-eat ribs at the Shasta District Fair in Anderson, Saturday, November the 21st. Individual dinner tickets are $35, but it's all you can eat. They're going to have Chad Bushnell there with his band. Doors open at 5, dinner at 6 p.m. with no-host cocktails, dancing to the band. They've got it all there. Gun and bucket raffles, silent live, and dessert auctions. Ooh, doggies. And, of course, you've got your holiday crafts fair. Rent your tables now for the Frontier Senior Center. It's going to be December the 5th. And December the 6th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., snack bar on Saturday. It's going to be free admission, handmade gifts and goodies. Go see Trish Clark. Well, she'll be here talking about it, I'm sure. But I'm here with Julie Dyer. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
And we're talking about our Red Town Market.
Red Town Market. Woohoo.
Woohoo. All right. November the 28th. Yep. What is Red Town Market?
So Red Town Market is a gathering of local and regional artists, artisans, and purveyors of fine goods.
Purveyors of
purveyors.
Fine goods. When I hear the word purveyors, I just, you know, for some reason I go, I don't know why. I don't know. Why is that?
It's hard, Carl, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say why I go,
yeah,
purveyors, purveyors, you know. I feel like Groucho Marx. You know, yeah, say the secret word and when. Okay, what a duck.
Yeah.
All right. Purveyor.
Yep, and we're going to have wine tasting offered by Mosley Wine Cellars, and of course the lovely Linda Bott and the Bluebirds coming in to sing some holiday tunes for us.
And they're, you know, I tell you what, they're rehearsing that. Usually, you know, Linda does not like to sing Christmas songs before Thanksgiving. She does not start at October 31st like some people.
Right.
And so, yeah, this will be her first big you know, they'll start breaking out their Christmas.
Well, good.
Cheer
and she doesn't have to violate her rule because
no,
it's 2 days later.
2 days later, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
This will be inside the Civic.
It'll be inside the Civic. Yep.
Free.
It's free admission to the public.
Yeah.
Yes. We're also going to have our in-house, the Civic Repertoire Theater is doing a Christmas Carol version of it that Fabiano Altamura has put a script to,
oh,
so we're going to have some of the cast in.
In costume,
strolling minstrels and doing little vignettes from the play. And
I met Fabiano.
Yeah,
this guy is.
He's amazing.
He's funny, and he's got and his partner there was or his partner one of the guys that's in this thing that's playing Christmas Past.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Christmas present. They were all here, so it ought to be good.
Yeah.
What kind of things are people going to see there?
They're actually really going to see a really wide variety. This is not. We worked really hard for this to not be kind of your typical artsy craftsy event. Not that there's anything wrong with those. Those are great too. But really trying to get local entrepreneurs who maybe don't have brick and mortar, or even if they do have brick and mortar, you know, just getting everybody who does really great things. So we've got Anderson's Fine Jewelry is actually going to be there. Evan Johnson from Kern and Hyde, he's got a little shop here down on Tehama. He's got great handmade leather goods and handmade jeans and things like that. Gold Coast
leather
goods.
Jeans?
No, handmade jeans.
Okay.
Leather goods.
Okay.
Hard.
You know, I mean, I see leather jeans out there. I mean, you know, motorcycle riders love them.
Sure.
Because you slide better.
Yeah.
It gives you that little slidey before it wears its way through before it then it starts grinding your flesh off. Yeah.
So, yeah, then we've got a great visual photography artist who's got some really lovely things. She's going to be there, a local potter, jar pottery.
Oh, fun.
They're going to be there. So it's a real wide array. Has some bling there for the ladies.
And you're still accepting vendors?
We are still accepting vendors. Just a few days left on that.
Okay.
But if somebody still wants to get in, they certainly can.
Okay.
And we're also going to have food on the day. It's a long day, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. So people are going to have plenty of time to kind of do their recovery from Thanksgiving and amble in when they when they like to. But there's going to be food and coffee and cider. And, you know, it's just really going to be a great community. Go out, see what's available, get
cool.
those special gifts for, you know, get your mass purchasing done the day before and then come in and start refining your list.
Find
that
those
sounds
things.
Sounds exciting.
Stocking
sounds
stuffers
nice.
And all those little things you want to get.
Yep.
Civic's doing a lot of things.
We are doing a lot of things.
You've got a lot of stuff going on.
Your
Christmas carol.
Yep.
That you're doing, or Christmas, what is it? It's a Christmas carol.
A Christmas carol, a love story.
Love story, that's right.
Yep.
And this is what would happen before, so I remember he was telling the story about it, about the Christmas carol. It's almost like a prequel or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's what caused it to happen.
Yeah, okay.
Got it.
Yep.
But you've got other big shows coming, too.
We do. We actually, so... The Red Town Market actually kind of kicks off our holiday season for us. And so we go from Red Town Market then to December 6th. We have the Temptations, the legendary Temptations
legendary.
In town.
Reject.
I know, right?
Oh, boy.
And
okay, don't get me started. I'll do my spin here, my temptation spin. Don't watch it. Don't get me going.
Clear the place.
It might do it. Yep. The temptation spin.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been getting lots of questions about, is it the real Temptations? This is not a cover band.
This is the real deal,
the Temptations. And then on the 13th, we've got the Oak Ridge Boys and their Christmas show coming in.
That's right.
So that's going to be... The last time they were here was 2013, so it's going to be a good time with those folks.
I like those guys.
And then we've got A Christmas Carol, A Love Story, mm-hmm. and then we start moving into the new year, and we're just...
You got a lot of things happening here.
Yeah.
Somebody says right here is that you're one of the hardest working ladies that she knows.
Oh, well, hey.
There you go.
My reputation precedes me.
Okay, so it's going to be Red Town Market. It's going to be on Saturday, November the 28th.
Yep.
From 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., dozens and dozens and dozens of vendors.
Yep.
And it's free to get in.
Free to get in, yeah.
There's going to be food there.
Food?
That you buy.
Yes.
And there's going to be people from the Christmas Carol walking around in costume.
Yep.
Linda and her band will be singing there from 2 to 4.
Yep.
Or be entertaining.
Yep.
There's going to be just a great time. Kicks off the whole season.
It does, yeah.
Are you going to spray people with like this? No? When they come in?
No.
Okay, just one. Just wondering if, you know, so you get those little,
an idea.
Get that little.
But if we work we hard, maybe it'll snow in the parking lot.
Maybe we'll have snow.
That'd
be great.
That would be a topper, about an inch.
Just
white
about
snow.
An inch, just enough to watch them come sliding past
yeah.
you. Yeah, that's right.
Kick off the season.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Down
the, yeah, wait a minute. I've got a truck out there. Stop that. Okay. We're here, of course, with Julie Dyer of the Civic. Thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
And I think it's going to be a great time. We're going to be talking about it a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that place to go. You're right. After you've done your major shopping, mm-hmm. then you could come in there and refine. Get in there and get that. This is the perfect one.
Here. Yeah.
As that special gift.
Well, you know, one year when I was in Iraq, I actually got online and went to I'm not going to mention the store, but it has a lot of sweaters and stuff like that. And I sent sweaters to everybody. Everybody. I must have shipped 20 sweaters out that year. I think he's this size. Okay, the little kids, give them this. And I shipped out about 20. I got a big thank you note from them saying, guys, well, thank you very much for shopping here. And then every year after that, I would get, you know, these huge catalogs that. But I was back in the States. I didn't need to do it anymore.
Right.
So, I was big on sweaters that year.
Well, may or may not be sweaters down here at Red Town Market.
May not be.
Yeah.
But
not.
There'll be a lot of other good.
A lot of other great things there.
But that's what I mean. You come in there. See, that was just a. Yep. That was just a. You could say that was just, you know, an area weapon I was using. Now you can get into that. You know, you can get into that precise by this piece of jewelry.
Yep.
This tchotchke and all that.
Right. Exactly.
Are they going to have pie birds?
Pie birds. What are? I don't even know what those are. What's a pie bird?
A pie bird is something that started in England. They're a round ceramic thing you put into a pie, and then you make the pie around it.
Oh.
Because it's a pie, as it cooks, it will swell and then collapse. So this lets all the steam out.
It makes it
cooks evenly.
I don't know. You should go
and see if you could find one. I think you should look at every vendor and see if you can find one.
I'm going to be there because Linda will be there. All right. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Eric Woodstrom, and Julie Dyer, thank you so much for coming by and talking about Red Town Market.
Awesome.
All right, we'll be right back.
You believe in magic in a young girl's heart. How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic. If the music is grooving, it makes you feel happy like an old-time movie. I'll tell you about the magic and the free.
It's that time of year again for the Redding Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Jam-packed with guns, knives, new, used, old, and antique. And bring your used unwanted gun and sell it for cash at this show. This is the show of the year. So remember, the Redding Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
It's no joke. We are in a serious water crisis, and the city of Redding is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet the demands. Redding residents did an excellent job of conserving water this past summer, but the days are cooler and shorter now, and plants and lawns don't need as much water. We can meet our goal by running sprinklers just 2 days a week, or set your timer to 60% of normal, and be sure to turn sprinklers off altogether before and after it rains. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
"Now he won't want to marry me," she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test-driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains, and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later, he called, and my heart skipped a beat. "Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California."
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvie here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we'd like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162 or you can visit our website, diamondcoredrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvie. We're here to help.
Alone when he stays through. Yes, I'll admit.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Bott and Eric Wickstrom, who is my co-host today. Good morning, Eric.
Morning, Carl.
Our computer just went, Bob pushed a button and it went. It looked at Bob and it, you know what? It made this rude gesture to Bob.
Orange flash.
I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Play that song for you.
Well, I didn't know that they could make gestures like that over the over. Wasn't it against the FCC regulations? Anyway, hey, good morning, everybody. It is about 14 minutes until 8 o'clock, 36 degrees out there, going up to 57 today. Weather brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our phone number is 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Jewelry, it's getting to be that time of the year, and Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. I'm telling you, they're having a sale on the 23rd of November. That will blow your boots off. If you don't go down there and take a look at what he's got going for sale, he's got rings from 5 carats or larger.
Wow. That's almost
down. Good. It's got every type of jewelry, estate jewelry, exquisite types of jewelry, and a full-service jewelry store is Four Winds Jewelry. They can even cut opals back there. They can design and cast their own jewelry. And they've got the only trained watch repairman in the whole area is right there at Four Winds Jewelry. Why would you go anywhere else? Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. And remember, the 23rd of November.
Yes.
They're having a big sale. Okay. Do you ever watch, do you read the paper?
Yes.
Did you read the editorials this weekend by any chance? The one by Silas Lyons?
Which one? I read them online on my little phone because I was out of town. Is that the one about
college and university?
Yes.
Hoping that his child gets offended when he goes to school.
Yes.
And let me
get challenged and offended.
Silas, I hope you're listening. If you're not, I'm going to send you this passage here because I don't always agree with you. I respect you, and I respect your opinion. In this one, you said you hit it right. I mean, you hit it perfectly when you talked about these people on these campuses that are wanting these safe zones and these safe areas where they can't be confronted by anybody. And oh, by the way,
I mean, confronted intellectually, not physically.
Intellectually, physically, but they can't be said. And professors have to give a warning at the beginning of a lecture saying some people may be upset by some of the things I'm going to say here. And they can leave.
Boy,
they do not have to listen.
The world has changed.
Eric, what would you do if somebody came to working your bank and, like, after the first 3 or 4 days, said, hey, I need a safe zone.
I'm not sure that I support capitalism. I need an area that I can go and just think about.
And you can't talk to me about it.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can't address this. And by the way, if you say something, that's a microaggression you're talking to me about. That's a microaggression. And you can't do that to me. I mean, how long would that person last?
It'd be uncomfortable.
It'd be uncomfortable. How long would that last, really?
Yeah. I need to say, when I began college, it was right after the fall of Iran. The Shah was, it was in 79. Well, it was a little earlier than that, 77.
Uh-huh.
And one of my first economic classes, Economic 101, was supposed to be basic economics, supply side and demand. Talk about Adam Smith and all that stuff. And I had an Iranian professor, Manzer Farhang. I can remember him like it was yesterday. And he taught us Marxist economic theory for Econ 101, way out of the curriculum from what he was supposed to do. But I still remember that, and it challenged me to think about what we are doing and how there's and I think that's the beauty of going to college. You're not going to agree with a lot of it. We're talking to our daughter about that now, that's in college, and she went into class and said, I don't agree with any of this. Well, it's learning other views and helping reinforce your own views and what works, or changing your views. It's not all about changing views, but it's stimulating the mind to think a little bit and understand what we actually are doing and why it works.
Well,
having a safe zone won't work.
That is one of the things about having people come on here and speaking about things in a different manner. I may not agree with them.
Right.
But you've got to open your mind up and listen to these. If you don't, you're crazy.
It just reinforces how right you are.
Well, it's not even that. It's that I tell you what, since I've been in this job, I've changed my attitude about some things.
Yes, absolutely.
I really have. And I think
we've
had good
discussions. Yes, we've
had. And I listen to people and I go, well, you know what? This other way isn't working. Maybe we need to try something like this. I'm all for it. I'm all for public restrooms. I really am.
Yes.
Because why not? Why force people to defecate in somebody's doorway
when they
don't have to?
Yep.
And of course part of that is they just are doing it because they're crazy.
Some are.
But why not provide some kind of public restroom for people that they can go in and use them, and then at least have that basic fundamental ability to relieve themselves,
to have some respect for themselves, and
why not do that? See, I have no problem with that, and there's a lot of people that do, and I don't understand that part. But anyway, these people in
that was a great editorial. Back to your comment.
Yeah, going back to Silas with Silas.
Yeah, it provided you an opportunity to think. It's like
You have to challenge. You have to be challenged, and when you don't, like I've got one of our people here, Comrade Ann. I agree with Carl. Rarely do I agree with Silas Lionspeed. He hit that one out of the park. And you know what? And it's absolutely true that if they are running our campuses. Now, I did hear something that was really interesting, that somebody said yesterday that this is going, you're waiting to see, there's going to be a backlash. There's going to be a backlash because a lot of these students on campus do not agree with this. And there's going to be, but they're now they're being told that, you can't do this, you can't do it. Here goes your constitutional rights to the First Amendment. And that a lot of these young students know enough about the Constitution and the First Amendment that there's going to be a backlash. So, I would hope to see that happen. That they stand up and say, hey, I don't care if you don't like what I'm going to say, but
I'm going to say it.
I'm going to say it, and I'm not attacking you.
No,
I'm sharing my views. I'm sharing my views,
yes.
and what is microaggressions?
Oh my goodness!
And then we get into the white man's privilege. Of course, I'm a white man. There's been times that I've not felt privileged at all.
Well, believe me. Tell me about it.
Anyway, this kind of scares me because these are leaders, and are they being capitalized to this?
Yeah, they're.
I don't know. I tell you what. Let's go to the phones. Kay.
Hi.
Good morning.
Carl. Hi, Eric.
Morning, Kay.
Eric, did you go to Sac State?
I did.
Yeah, my advisor shared his office with with Professor Farhang.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You know what happened to him after, you know, he went on a sabbatical to...
I think I read something, you know, years later. Yes. Tell me the story. But there was something that happened. Didn't he go back?
He went to New Jersey.
Okay.
On a sabbatical, and then that's when Iran fell.
Yeah, okay.
And then he was appointed ambassador
to the
United States from Iran.
Wow. No, I just remember that. I remember the name was distinctive. Here he came out of, you know, high school, fairly sheltered area, mm-hmm. kind of east of Sacramento, and I went to this class, and I thought, wow. I've never heard any of this stuff. It's so interesting. Not that I ended up agreeing with it, but it helped open my eyes that there's, you know, that there's different thoughts out there and different. But that's amazing. I remember that there was a sequel to the Manzoor Farhang story.
Yeah, and he was a student of Marcuse.
Okay.
And he wanted to get Marcuse to come on campus, and I had a British barrister who was very conservative who had agreed to debate Marcuse, and he kept asking me, and I said, well, I've talked to my man, you talk to yours. Because I wasn't gonna talk to Marcuse about it.
That's amazing.
But and my advisor said that they shared the same telephone.
Okay.
And so when the phone rang, if Dr. Shoemaker was there, he'd answer the phone.
Sure.
And he said there was some real strange things.
I'll bet.
There was stuff going on. I mean,
yes.
It didn't start with Obama.
No, it didn't start.
But that was kind of weird because for the most part, that was a really, if you were going to be in government or economics or history, that was a good place to go.
Yes.
In the 70s.
Yep.
Anyway, that is it.
That you probably didn't think you were going to hear that on the radio this morning, did you?
No, and I didn't hear. I wasn't sure if maybe you'd started out in New Jersey and had him out there.
No, I had him at Sac State.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Kay.
Thanks, Bye-bye. Kay. Let's go to the phones, line 2. Billy Bob, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Carl. Eric.
Morning.
Hey, before we got to that next guest, I wanted to get a quick comment in what you were talking about, the pay scales that were published in the paper yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. And this is, again, the reason we don't have enough cops on the street. This is, again, the reason why builders have to pay these exorbitant impact fees. And this is absolutely ridiculous. And if this city will stand for this type of extortion in their pay scales, then, as Donald Trump would say, they're stupid. And, again, this is absolutely insanity. Who else makes that kind of money? No one. Even owners of businesses, doctors and lawyers, they can't make that much money net free and then have that kind of retirement. There's no, it's absolutely absurd. So I'll let you guys go. Great show.
Thanks, Billy Bob. Well, you know, this is worrisome.
Yes.
To me, I mean, if you look at the average wages of, and here's the worst part. I'm not talking about necessarily you or me or Bob or, maybe some other people, but look at the average wage of a Reading resident. I think it's what, I mean, you probably know this better than I do. It's like $58,000 or maybe $60,000.
Yeah, a little less than that. A family of four is in the high 40s.
Okay, let's just say high 40s,
yep.
low 50s.
Yep.
Now, these are the people that are paying the taxes
yes.
for these guys that are making $300,000 a year. I mean, if you count the, you know, if you're counting the,
all
the medical and all that. And you know, here's the thing is, I don't blame Kurt Starman for making $250,000 a year, whatever it is, $235,000 a year. I don't blame him because they've hired him and they're saying this is your salary.
Right.
Who I blame is
the decision makers.
The decision makers, and in this case, the former city council members, and now the ones that are coming up. We have two in there that we had three that got elected: Francie, Kristen, and Brent. And they all voted for raises.
Yes, they did.
Everybody. Yeah, they voted for raises. The only one that didn't vote for a raise was Gary Catt. And so now you've got this coming out, and you've got another election coming up with two more seats opening up. And this is, I think, a fair question. What do you think about this? As you know, as, is this something the city council should take on and really take a look at how much we pay people or how much more they could pay into their health benefits? And the other thing too is, how about extending out how long they have to work here to get these benefits?
And you know, I think that to bring that back together, the city council, both the existing and new, have an opportunity to look at for an increasing sales taxes coming in, and right. They have a chance to allocate it.
There you go. That's something else we're going to talk about. We'll be right back. Hopefully Chris Brown will be calling us right at 8 o'clock or 8:05. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. President Obama says all nations need to step up their efforts in the battle against ISIS in the aftermath of last week's terrorist attacks in Paris.
ISIL is the face of evil. Our goal, as I've said many times, is to degrade and ultimately destroy this barbaric terrorist organization.
The president offering his comments at the G20 summit in Turkey today. Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz, meanwhile, says ISIS presents a clear and present danger to the entire world.
People around the world realize that there is such a thing as unqualified evil, and that ISIS is exactly that. And you can't contain or compromise. You have to figure out a way of uprooting ISIS completely.
Also interviewed by the Salem Radio Network was House Speaker Paul Ryan this morning, who said the attacks in Paris prove the current U.S. policy towards ISIS simply need to be upgraded.
ISIS is not a remote danger in a far-off land, and a containment strategy is not enough.
Ryan tells the Salem Radio Network that the U.S. needs an overarching plan to confront ISIS. Former FBI official Sean Henry telling NBC's Today show that perhaps the most worrisome aspect of last week's terrorist attacks is the way it was able to be planned under the radar.
There was an inability to intercept communications, apparently. We don't have any of that information coming back. And the ability to coordinate across multiple countries is very difficult for intelligence agencies to look into these disparate organizations.
Officials in Central California taking a look today at damage done yesterday by a very rare tornado in the central part of the state. Meanwhile, that weather system continuing to dump heavy rains.
California right now is on the backside of this system, backside of the low. So a lot of lingering showers on the backside and some heavy mountain snows in the Sierras.
It's Brian Hurley at the National Weather Service. More of these stories at townhall.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
It's where Transformers meets the UFC. Megabots Incorporated, an Oakland, California-based startup company, has built a 15-foot mechanical gladiator. It is nicknamed the Mark II. It actually challenged a Japanese robot company to do an international robot battle next year, and they've accepted. But co-founder Matt Orline says the Mark II still needs to pump it up a little bit before the duel.
Our current robot, the Mark II, looks pretty intimidating. It's huge. The truth is, it's pretty slow, it's top-heavy, it's rusty, and it needs a set of armor upgrades to be able to compete in hand-to-hand combat.
Meanwhile, the Japanese maker of a 13-foot robot named Kuratus has accepted the challenge. That sets the stage for the first-ever giant robot battle, first of its kind, set for sometime next year. On Wall Street, the Dow doing well in early trading. Right now, it's up by just about 41 points. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Asian stocks fell opening the global trading day today after those terrorist attacks in Paris on Friday sent shockwaves through the international markets. People not sure how the world's going to respond, and that's caused some anxiety. Yuri Kageyama, though, reports that those terrorist attacks are not the only issue right now weighing down the markets.
There's already a lot of fears about global growth that was happening before these attacks because China is not the driving force that it used to be. We just got figures today on Japan's July-September growth, and there was a technical recession.
The Eiffel Tower, which dimmed its lights in the morning following the terrorist attacks in Paris, will be relit in red, white, and blue. The 116-year-old international symbol of Paris set to light up in the colors of the French flag this evening. Monuments around the world have done the same in recent days to show sympathy and solidarity with the French people. More of these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and my co-host today, Eric Wittstrom, president of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank. And we have on the phone with us Chris Peronto. Chris, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. You have been a busy man.
You say that again. I'll tell you what. I have been going crazy over the last 3 months, and it's not looking like it's going to stop anytime soon. But this is a good problem to have, except for my beauty sleep, which I think I'm getting uglier every day. I don't get enough.
Chris Peronto is one of the co-authors of the book 13 Hours, talking about Benghazi, and was one of the contractors that was there in Benghazi that night that the ambassador was killed and was in the team that went over and rescued members of the American embassy, and then had was involved in a horrendous firefight for 13 hours. But amazing how I knew that one right away, huh? Hey, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name again is Chris Peronto. I was with 2nd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment. I did also spend some time with the 5th Battalion, 19th Special Forces Group. And, you know, I was a contractor for 10 years. I worked for various contracting firms. Blackwater was one. Ocean Hunter Group was another one. SOC, Special Operations Consulting, was another one. Nexus. So I've got a little bit of experience over in the Middle East. I deployed for 10 years, approximately over in the Middle East. And, you know what? I enjoyed every minute of it. I still miss it to this day, and with the book, even though we have the book and doing that. I was involved with the Benghazi incident. My team saved the lives of over 24 people. We also lost two of my teammates, and also we could get over there in time to save the ambassador and Sean Smith. I'm a very strong Christian. I'm a patriot, and I really believe in this country. And I think sometimes we're heading in the wrong direction, but I've been very, very lucky to go and travel around the United States and speak in front of people, and I really think people are waking up. So it's a good thing to see, especially after being felt like being turned on in Benghazi.
Well, you know, Chris, of course, is speaking tonight at the Civic Auditorium. Doors open at 6, and then he begins his program at 7. There's still some tickets left, I believe, and just give a call down to the Civic Auditorium. Now, you know, let me just kind of cut through a lot of this. But, Chris, if you all had been given permission early on to go in there, do you think that Stevens would have died?
No, I don't. And I said that to the Health and Health Subcommittee, the Mike Rogers Committee that wrote that, wrote that very, it was actually very juvenile, terrible, misrepresented report on their findings with the incident. Hence, this is why the Benghazi Select Committee was made. But I do remember telling Republican Mike Rogers that, you know, hey, if we would have left on time, yeah, the ambassador, Sean Smith, would still be alive. And I said, no doubt in my mind. So, it's not that we maybe would have got over there and actually got to the consulate to get get him out, but are getting over there, at least getting close and getting into the firefight with Ansari and Al-Qaeda and the Maghreb. They're on the consulate, as we did anyway, 25 minutes later, would have at least got their attention on us and would allow the State Department guys who are, you know, their security officers in their own right, would allow them to do what they needed to do to get the ambassador and Sean Smith to safety and out of that safe room. So, whether we would have got all the way there or we wouldn't have got all the way there, we would have made a difference. And I believe that we would have allowed the State Department guys to get Ambassador Stevens and Sean Smith where they needed to be. So, they would have, there's no doubt in my mind.
Great. Hey, Chris, the other question I have then, too, is, the fact is that for a week or 2 weeks after that, the administration was telling everybody it was a video, caused by a video. It was just a riot that got out of control. Was there any doubt in your mind from the very beginning that this was an organized attack with a complex attack?
No. It was an organized attack. With the tactics they used to get on that compound, indicated to me, and this is what indicated to me, from my opinion and my expertise, or if you want to say lack thereof expertise, but from how they moved on the compound and how they could have actually just killed everybody, I do believe they're trying to kidnap the ambassador or kidnap somebody on that compound. They brought too many powerful weapons to bear. The video itself, we didn't know the video at all until I got to Germany. The day after. And, you know, my job that day with Dave Benton was to go ahead and monitor all the media that was going on throughout the day, because we had to let our team know what was happening, if there was going to be anything that would cause an uprising or a protest or a gathering of people. So we let them know where parts of the city to stay out of, and there was nothing going on. It was very quiet. Nothing happened at all. So, no video. No protest. We were right by the consulate 30 minutes before his attack. There was nothing happening. I don't know why that story was fabricated. I really don't.
Well, you know, we can always kind of, you know, there's conjecture about why it was.
But, you know, sure.
I mean,
sure.
Anyway, my gosh, couldn't have had anything.
I have my ideas. But again, I don't. One thing that we've tried to stay true to is on the book. And then even with the movie coming out, is we've tried to just maintain the things that we know 100%. So we don't get caught in the weeds like politicians like to do, where they like to get in the weeds and speculate and give their opinions and on incidents that sometimes they have nothing to do with. And I don't want to do that, because then it really does it taints the story. And I don't want the story to be tainted. It's already been tainted enough. That's why we've done the book, because what actually happened over there was being misconstrued for, I don't know, over a year, until we actually finally came forward and said, hey, this, what you're hearing is all wrong. This is actually what happened.
So, Chris,
so I just want to speak indefinite.
Well, you know what, and that's the thing. You stay in your firing lanes, and you know what's happening in your firing lanes. You can talk all about it. As soon as you get out of that, then now it is conjecture. So I think that's the strength, and it's going to be the strength of your talk tonight in the movie and the book, is that you stayed about things you knew about, and that what was happening right then. Gosh, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can't wait to hear you tonight. How many of these have you done here in the last 6 months?
I'd say about 60. It's probably about, I'm thinking it's just about in between 60 and 70. What's been good is that I've been very blessed to be able to get up in front of a crowd or get in front of a camera. It doesn't bother me. I don't get scared doing it. I don't get stage fright. And, you know, I've gone from just speaking about Benghazi to, I do go and speak at leadership conferences about how to be a good leader and what I went through. Because not only Benghazi can I talk about, but, you know, I was a Ranger. I went through Ranger School. Ranger School is a leadership school. I was being at Ranger Battalion and going through a lot of adversity to become a good Ranger there. It takes a lot of dealing with adversity, a lot of sacrificing. And then I do talk about God in combat, because I do know He exists, and I've felt Him in combat before, so I do that as well. So it's not just Benghazi, but it's gone to other things with dealing with Christianity, also dealing with leadership. So it's a good, like I said, it's a good problem to have. I do speak a lot, and I think country is actually looking at Benghazi as something other than just that incident night and what you can learn from it. Hence, that's why I've been doing other types of events. And again, that's a good problem to have. So, I don't really have a break till February. So, I'm already getting booked out next year. So, it's good. It's good. I'm tired, but hey, it's necessary. Yeah. And I can sacrifice. No big deal. I'll get sleep when I'm on the plane. I'm fine.
Well, you know what? what they used to say is what? You can sleep when you're dead?
Yeah, that's what I want to say too. I can sleep when I'm dead. I just want to jinx myself. I've been close enough to death enough times. Now, like, I don't know if I want to say that.
You're right.
I've been walking the line a lot over the last 10 years.
I mean, how many times do you leave the wire without saying a prayer? You know, it's one of those things.
Oh, you know, you never do. I lost my Bible over there. I always had one. I carried it in my pocket. I carried it out for all my deployments. And when we left Benghazi, I didn't have time to grab it. And that's just, you know, so. But I do. You always say prayer. I say prayer every night since I was 16. So this is the path I'm supposed to be walking on. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay. Hey, look, I'm going to be meeting you tonight. We'll be there, of course, for this. Looking forward to that. I just have one more question. Paris.
Yeah.
It's not really a question. It's just, it's no surprise.
My thing with that is, and you know, the people that died, of course, people dying, it's sad. It's for the family members that are still alive. But you know, and this is where the butt comes in. This goes with the leadership, and this goes with the leadership of any country. You know, and I want to tell them this: you kind of brought that on yourself. You know, when you're being sympathetic, and you're not properly vetting the people coming into your country, which is dang near impossible with refugees. And you're letting them come in, and you're relying on your kindness, which you think is going to lead over to the people coming in. Terrorists don't work that way. Terrorists are evil, and Islamists are evil. Radical Islamists or radical jihadists, same thing, the same dang thing, are evil, and they do not play by those rules. And they will utilize our kindness, and like they did in Paris, to infiltrate and then kill. So when I saw it, all I did was like, I just shook my head and like, well, you kind of did that to yourself, guys. And your people paid for it. So, I'm not trying to be insensitive, at all. It just is one of those things where you look at it as a military man, and tactically those terrorists did what they had to do. They executed it to perfection. and people died, and now countries, excluding ours, I know we're going to try to bring in, 10,000 refugees, which is a terrible idea. You got to step back and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe this isn't the right thing to do, and maybe it's not the nicest or most politically correct thing to do, but we've got to kind of close it down right now until we can figure out a better way to vet people that we're allowing in our country.
I know.
The terrorists will infiltrate.
Yeah. I know, just to find translators, we're working for translators, how long it took to vet each one of them. So when you're trying to vet thousands, you know, it just doesn't work. Hey, Chris, we're here with Chris Peronto. Chris is going to be speaking tonight at 7 at the Civic Auditorium, talking 13 hours Benghazi. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of other things to do, Chris. So I so much appreciate you calling, and I'm looking forward to meeting you tonight.
Oh, thanks, sir. And thanks for your service, too. And, yeah, we'll after we're done, me and you all will pour one for both of us, and we'll have a chat.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Okay. All right. You take care, amigo. Okay, that was Chris Peronto. He's going to be, like I said, speaking tonight at the Civic Auditorium. If you're not there, you're silly, because he can tell you what's happened from in his zone of influence in Benghazi. He's not going to be talking about what's happening in Washington and what's happening in other places. It's just what he saw on the ground. He's staying in his fire lanes for that. And it is going to be interesting. When you're a contractor and you're in an area like this, there's so many things that happen that don't happen when you're in the military that you have to react to. And your teams get tight, and you've got missions to do there, but you don't have the backup a lot of times with the military. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with Leah Tate, who is our latest that has thrown her hat in the ring for Reading City Council. And frankly, I've known Leah, and she seems so bright, and I just don't understand why people would do this. But we're going to find out from Leah why, right? Okay, we'll be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy said, be sure to let everyone know Beth and Johnny had a little baby boy. Now we're doing a lot of kerosene deliveries and selling a lot of used and new Toyo Tommy stoves. So give us a call for your free estimate. We're trying to fill the tanks before winter sets in. The drivers have snowshoes on their backs, so they're ready for winter. Kathy's got a bunch of new tank filters and gauges in, so let us know on your next delivery and we'll bring them out. Be sure to use ethanol-free 93 and all the lawnmowers and weed eaters before you put them back in the shed. We got another load of clear pearl in for all the portable heaters and propane bottles for the others. Northern Lights Energy, for your bulk deliveries for home, farm, ranch, construction, and logging. In Corning, call Robin, Joe in Weaverville, and in Redding, the rest of the crew. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Yummy, juicy ribs. All-you-can-eat baby back ribs. Coleslaw, bread, beans, drinks, and dancing to country music star Chad Bushnell. All that plus live, silent, and dessert auctions, all to benefit friends of the Shasta District Fair and the future of our wonderful fair. Please join us Saturday, November 21st for all-you-can-eat baby back ribs and an evening of fun with friends. Tickets available at the fairgrounds office or call 378-6789.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bond and Eric Woodstrom, my co-host. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Carl.
Hey, Bob, what's the weather look like today? It looks like...
Oh, it's time for that, isn't it? It's
36 degrees right now, going up to 57 with a low tonight of 44. Well, you were...
Should I speak?
I was
now?
Helping. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were okay.
Sunshine,
a few afternoon clouds, and as Carl so helpfully pointed out, high today right around 60 degrees, overnight low of 43, and right now in Reading, approaching the 37 degree mark. I got one job in this radio station.
Hey, okay. Well, then who's
this better? Report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
365-3793, veteran-owned business right here and helping people in the North State. Discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business. It's really important. Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Mighty Fine Foods, locally owned and operated by a father and son team, Ed and Kyle DeFore. Full deli, butcher shop, over 1,000 drinks, including over 250 different kinds of beer. Different kinds of beer. Think about that. And I counted them. And Bob drank every one of them over the period of 7 days. It's your one-stop shop. You go in there, and you've got it all there. And their prices on meat, they'll match anybody in town. Anybody. So go on out there. Ed cuts the meat the way you want it. Mighty Fine Foods at the corner of 299 and Deschutes Road. All right. Terry, good morning.
Best sandwiches in the area.
Best sandwiches in the area, and they also have breakfast. Okay,
they
what's
have
happening
everything,
tonight?
Even Jefferson gear.
Yeah. What's happening tonight?
Nothing. Because we are all supporting Chris Pronto. We're all going there. We encourage people to go to that. In fact, we're working on something right now to bring him back at the very end of January in a couple of counties down below us.
Okay.
And so that's what we're working on tonight. Is we encourage everyone to go see that American hero and support that tonight. But I do have a quick thing I'd like to say, that is that a couple of things. First of all, the young lady who's running for city council, that's great. What would she do about public comment? Would she bring back an oversight to the Reading Utilities? And also, one other thing, for us to believe that Kurt Starman doesn't set salaries, I'm sorry, but that's what the staff does. And pretty much the city council relies on staff to give them information, since the city council is part-time. And when Billy Bob called in, he was totally right. That's millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Those guys are making between three of them. I mean, why do we have an assistant city manager? Those two guys are cracking down almost three-quarters of $1 million.
Yep.
Really and truly?
Well, those are things that as we go along in this year, we're going to be talking about to all the candidates.
I think those are good questions. I think the thing is that we can't be naive about who sets policy and who hired Rick Belletti and gave him his salary, Kurt Starman. I mean, really and truly, let's be realistic and understand how
okay.
it works.
All right, Terry, thanks a lot.
Yep.
All right, see you tonight. All right, bye. Okay, Leah Tate.
Hi.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good
welcome.
Morning.
Welcome to. Hey, you know that's a perfect introduction to your life. I'm doing knife hand here.
wow.
I know that's a perfect introduction to what your life's going to be. You want to run for city council?
I'm in.
You're in.
She's running.
Tell us who Leah Tate is.
Let's see. I don't even know where to start. So my family's been in the Reading area since I was two. My father moved the family up here to start his own private practice, and he currently owns Patients Hospital of Reading.
And if you're going to go to a hospital, that's kind of a nice place to go to.
That is the best place with a great meal. I attended all local schools here and graduated from Shasta High School in 93. Went to Berkeley. And received my bachelor in psychology and an informal emphasis in military affairs. And then I continued to the California School of Professional Psychology, received a master's and a doctorate degree in clinical psychology. And I spent a few years in the Bay Area working at Kaiser Permanente. And an opportunity popped up on my radar at the VA here in Reading. And here I am.
Here you are.
Yes.
What do you do at the VA?
I currently hold the position of, it's a local recovery coordinator. It's a regional position. And I've held several different hats at the VA. And so this is my newest role. And it's responsible for making sure that therapists from Yreka to Oakland are giving veterans the best care that they can.
Okay, and that's...
But can I make a disclaimer, though?
Oh, sure.
That I'm here today, and I know somebody's at home saying, if she works at the VA... How is she here on the radio? I took some time off this morning so I could be here today, and all my views are my own and not the federal government's.
Oh, no, you have to do that, and that's what we say here at the beginning is that. But that's a good question. You've got a job that, you know, especially a job like
job.
That. It's a full-time
job. Well, it's part-time.
Job.
Part-time.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
I didn't know that.
It's part-time.
I thought it was full-time.
Yes, it's part-time.
Okay.
And then I balanced some time out working at Patients Hospital in the administrative role, trying to... Learn the ins and outs of healthcare administration.
You work with veterans that have had post-traumatic stress.
I have
and
in the past.
Other things.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But currently, like I said, my role is making sure therapists deliver good care to veterans.
How's that working?
We're doing a much better job than we have, and I'm just honored and happy to be in the role that I am because these are true heroes. My husband is an Air Force veteran and a current firefighter, and I love serving that population.
He's a big guy.
He's a big boy.
Big boy. I saw him the other day. We were at an event, and I was standing behind him trying to look around him, and I'm going... I looked up at him. I said, this is the kind of guy you want to go through the door with. You want him first.
Creates a shadow.
Yeah, you want him to be first, but you know, you want him to have his protective gear on, and then you just kind of get down behind, looking over his shoulder.
Duck below.
With your rifle over his shoulder going, let's go, let's go.
Well, you know, as a family, we all box together, and he and I box.
Right. You're into the, aren't you into kickboxing?
I do.
Or boxing.
I'm I box. I do a little bit of the kickboxing, and I don't do much of the grappling. So I can't say I'm an MMA aficionado, but I did compete in the One River Tough Man competition in July.
Oh, my goodness.
You did?
Oh, I did.
Wow. I had no idea you did that.
Absolutely.
That's part of her preparation for city council meetings.
Well, you know what? That's not even,
this could make council meetings much more interesting.
I think you're going to get a respect that others won't.
You should get into that MMA type thing because, you know, getting people down and, you know, headbutting them. And
an elbow here or there.
Well, you can't headbutt them, but you got an elbow.
Elbow. No headbutt.
No headbutts. That's right. But, you know, you can go put them into.
No, it's a family affair. So every week, my father, my brother, my husband, me. Oh, yeah. We go
Randy?
Out.
Burning Randy a little energy.
Oh, Randy? Yes. Randy is the fastest of us all.
Oh, yeah. He looks.
Yeah.
Which, any worried about his hands?
my father and brother don't
they're
complain
surgeons.
About their. They are
surgeons.
But they don't complain about their hands too much. I think they're more concerned about landing that hit in the face.
Oh.
My pretty face.
Oh,
of course.
Okay. Got it. All right. Hey, we're here with Leah Tate, who is running for city council. We haven't found out why yet, but we're going to right after this break. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm here with Eric Wisdom, who is my co-host today, president of Northern Division of the, of course, of Five Star Bank. It's 8:30, November the 16th, 36 degrees out there. We'll be right back.
Be on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The unmistakable sound of the Temptations. Motown comes to Reading. Sunday, December 6th at 7 p.m. Live in concert, it's the Temptations at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Don't miss the Temptations. For more than 50 years, hit after hit from the Temptations. Now live in Reading at the Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now. Go to the Civic box office, call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for the incredible Motown sound of the Temptations. The smooth stepping and flawless presentation of flair, flash, and class come to the Reading Civic Auditorium with the Temptations live in concert December 6th. Get your tickets now at the box office. Call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for the Temptations.
It is that time of year again. Cooler weather, fun-filled festivities, warming up by the fireplace, and family get-togethers. Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society wishing you happy holidays. As we go into the holidays this year, our goal is to find 300 forever homes for our homeless animals. What could be better than adding a new furry family member during the holidays? We have many wonderful dogs and cats looking for a home this holiday season. Please come by Haven Humane Society off 273 or visit our website at havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow all of the animals both available for adoption and adopted. For more information, call 241-1653. And from all of us at Haven, we wish you a happy holiday.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dues until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:33 in the morning, 36 degrees out there. Going up to 57 today. 605-4567 is our phone number, November the 16th. I'm here with Eric Wickstrom, my co-host today. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Carl. Good to be here.
Yeah,
good way to start the week off.
It is. It is a great way. And we're here with Leah Tate, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time. Great haircuts, great prices, a veteran-owned business, man's last stronghold. Yes. It's the cheers of barbershops. Want to find out what's going on? Go on down to Cypress Square Barbershop. Have a great time. Walk on down the street then after that, if you get your haircut. Go down and have breakfast or lunch with Millie and Kathy from the Classy Cafe. Oh, man, is that great.
It's wonderful.
Get a hug when you walk in. So, all right. Hey, we're here with Leah Tate, and Leah's running for city council. And why?
That is a good question. It took me several months to make this decision. I first had to look inside, and then I started talking to peers. Community people started asking me about it, and they honestly started asking me about it during the last election cycle, but I was so focused on what I was doing at the time. I think that with my – I have a unique set of skills right now. I have a mental health background, and I currently believe that a lot of our issues are bundled, if you will. Mental health, substance abuse, homelessness, crime and safety are all together, and we need to treat it like they're all together. I think it's very difficult to pick one, target it.
Right.
We're treating symptoms, and so I think I can just be helpful where we are in Reading right now.
Okay, and like I'm going to do with everybody that comes on the first time, unless you're an incumbent, is we're not going to push you right now for specifics because you're just getting your arms around it. But as we go on,
you're right.
We're going to be talking real specifics. Like, and part of the example that you're talking about, I first of all agree.
Right.
I think everybody does, is that it's going to have to be everything. It's going to have to be a multi-pronged attack on this.
Yes.
But I also know this. An active shooter, just as an example, runs from 5 to 12 minutes. When they're shooting, the average response time for our police for an emergency is 16 minutes because we don't have enough police. Priorities.
Yeah, and we do need a list of priorities because we need a collective objective, if you will.
Yeah.
Because you're right. That is our response time. And if you look at the fire department, their response time is a little bit longer than all of us would like to see, too.
Well, and that's another question, too, is 83% of all calls or something, 80. Did you know that 96% of all statistics are made up right then?
Made up on the air?
On the air.
Just in the last 30 seconds?
Just as they come into my head.
Sure.
But
sure.
I have read is like
I'm write
know,
them
over,
down,
over 80% of all calls are not for fires. They're medical emergencies.
Yep. Medical emergencies.
And I'm married to a firefighter,
I know.
You're right. I get it.
And it may be more than that. You know,
It's a large amount.
It's much more. They're going for medical emergencies,
right.
And they have to roll the truck. Is there a better way of doing this?
Other cities have tried other things. And my husband and I talk about it all the time. He's a City of Medford firefighter, and they are fully staffed. And so he's happy with that. But Seattle puts a PA on their trucks, so they can roll to...
Physician assistant, right?
Yeah. Oh,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Physician
right.
assistant,
physician
yep. thank you,
yep.
On their
on
trucks,
the trucks
so that they can roll and they're getting medical care, and they can also assess the previous day's hospital discharges. Think about that.
Sure.
You're discharged from the ER yesterday. Someone comes in and checks in with you the next 24 to 48 hours to make sure you're taking your medication, things like that. So there are cities that are getting a little innovative, and we just need to be thinking outside the box a little bit.
Yeah. And making.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that later on this year.
Yeah.
Because
we will.
I'd like to think of that we might be able to put together a triage team that doesn't have our firefighters rolling.
It doesn't have to have.
Doesn't have to have firefighters.
You don't
there.
Need to have your,
right.
you know,
and then
three
we
on
take,
a truck going
right.
for a medical emergency.
But that's the innovation,
yep.
right? That we're looking for.
Those
just the conversation, the thoughts.
the mental health side of it, it all comes down to money.
Absolutely.
Is that true?
I believe so. And, you know, as I mentioned in my announcement Friday, is I'd love to see the city and the county come together with stakeholders and actually consumers who are utilizing the services, because sometimes we make rules and regulations and we haven't asked the people that are using them if this works, because it's a lack of money, lack of resources. And we did, if you recall, we did have an inpatient psychiatric unit that closed mid-2004 because of lack of funding. Mm-hmm. And I worked there as a kid, you know, during the summers in college. So I vividly remember that's where I learned a lot about the same issues.
Nuts and bolts. Yep.
Nuts and bolts. The same issues we're facing now were the same people I was seeing when I was 18 years old in the inpatient unit here.
Okay.
So we're kind of back to...
Yep.
We've kind of done a full circle. We're back, and we need some more options.
Yeah, and it's not just a city problem or just a county problem or just any problem. It's a problem.
Yes.
And there's, you know, it's there's a lot of areas where there's resources, and it's just a matter of allocating as best we can.
Yes, and that as best we can is where we're at. I mean, and I spoke to Dignity Health, and they give me a stat that I find mind-boggling, and I know I'm in the mental health field. But they spend, this is one big hospital, spends $400,000 a month on 5150, so gravely disabled, danger to self, danger to others.
No, I understand that, because sometimes they'll be in their intensive care unit for up to 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes.
In there, because they can't get them out of there into
a bed
someplace. No, yeah. I believe that. But let's talk about that then. Yeah. So what can the city and county then? Okay, let me go back a second. There was a gentleman came in here from San Antonio talking about, and I can't remember the name of the program they have down there in San Antonio. He was on the show. It sounded very reasonable. Everybody's talking about it, where you have like sobering
yes.
rooms
yep. yes.
and places we can put people
yes.
that are 5150s and drunk or on drugs, that they can kind of like, you know, come down, then they get cleaned up at that point.
And I'm and on then you, that bandwagon.
And then the cops just drop them off.
Yes, and I'm on that bandwagon too. I don't know, you know.
But what's the cost of that, and do we have something like that?
No, we don't have anything like that model, but I like that model. And as I drive through town, I'm liking it even more. You know, I look at buildings that we're not using that are city or county owned, and I think to myself, could we get this building up to code, have a sobering, you know, people like to call them a drunk tank or whatever, but a sobering system.
Sobering facility for drugs or
yes,
alcohol.
Because sometimes our police are just transporting someone who's had a few too many beers, but it's a lot of paperwork for them, and they're not out on the street. They're filling out paperwork.
Well, let's go back to that one, too, then. We've got 7 patrolmen on at any one time.
Yes.
It could be more when they're on the shift change. That gets us back to that 16 minutes for an emergency. An emergency. Somebody's getting assaulted. Somebody's breaking in your house.
Serious.
16 minutes there. Then we have to, when you're looking at priorities, you know, these guys breaking your house could be because they're heroin addicts or they're meth heads. So you've got that problem. But you still need police to take them.
Yes, you need police on scene. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. And I'm actually in the process of scheduling a ride-along during those kind of funky hours, the 11 p.m. to 3 a.m., because I really want to see for myself what's going on out there, what it looks like, and what the police are up against. I'd like to get in it and see it for myself. So.
Well, you need to do that.
Absolutely, yes.
You've done that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that. And I'm doing it again, too. I got a personal invitation this time from some of the guys. Come on out during this time frame. Well, okay. So I'll be going out with them. Again, because the homeless problem we have. Homeless transient, okay? I'm not going to say they're, you know, some of them are transients that have chosen this. And these illegal camps. And I call them illegal camps. You can call them homeless camps. I call them illegal camps. What would you do about those?
Well, as you know, Kristen Schrader has put together the Homeless Coalition. She's doing a great job of putting together stakeholders to tackle that. For me, again, I feel like it's all tied together,
yep.
mental health. So, you can combat one area, but all these other 5 areas are still going to remain or go higher. So I'd like to see more of and I hesitate to use the cliche one-stop shop, but something where
I think that's a real good, I think it's a real good cliche.
Okay, then let's
you
use it.
Sort the criminals go one way and take care of the bad people.
Well,
take care,
because
and then there's some that with mental health issues and get them help, and
I mean,
there's some that are truly just having a tough time. Let's help them have a hand up.
But if you think about it, we don't have a lot of resources on the weekend. A lot of these things happen on the weekend.
Right.
It'd be nice to have a facility, a building, where there is a substance abuse triage provider, a mental health triage provider. There is an option for people, and that would include a sober facility, things like that. So we've been doing the best we can. I know the city has been doing the best they can. I know the county. But it's just not working to the level we need.
I don't think they have.
Well, it doesn't
seem to be
totally. Coordinated.
Yeah,
I disagree totally.
It
with
isn't
you.
Coordinated.
They haven't been doing it. They haven't been doing as good as they can.
Yeah.
We've got some really good people. We've got them all going in different directions. Look how long it has taken to get the blueprint for public safety into our hands. When we started with Brent Weaver, you know, screaming for this, as was Francie and Kristen, everybody running. Oh, we need this, and so. Brent started to do some things, and Francie said, oh, no, we need to send this out to a – we need to have somebody do this study. Well, here it is, 11 months later, going on 12, we still don't have it, and when the Record Searchlight is suing the city right now to be able to even look at the drafts, there's something wrong there. And I don't think that they're working as well as they can. I think we've got some good people, but I think there's no leadership, Leah. What are you going to do?
Well, Leah, you know, a lot of...
But I tell you what I'm going to do.
Oh, tell me.
I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to think about that.
We're going to have a quick break.
We'll be right back after these messages. It's quarter till 9 right here at KCNR 1460. I just threw it. Leah Tate, who is running for city council. Okay, all these have got all these good ideas, but there's nothing pulling them together. What would you do? And that may not be a real fair question right now, early on, but just give me some generalities there.
What I like about you.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Jam-packed with guns, knives, new, used, old, and antique. And bring your used unwanted gun and sell it for cash at this show. This is the show of the year. So remember, the Reading Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Tired of sitting in a waiting room for hours when you're sick? Churn Creek Healthcare has the answer. Our prompt care is staffed with expert medical professionals that are trained in fast-track medicine. We understand and value your time because no one likes to wait, especially when you are sick. Our prompt care is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. From sneezes to stitches, we have you covered. We are open to all Medi-Cal and Partnership Health Plan patients in Shasta County. At Churn Creek Healthcare, we provide you only the highest quality of care with dignity and respect you deserve. On the web at churncreekhealthcare.com or call us today at 768-2436.
It's no joke. We are in a serious water crisis, and the city of Reading is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet the demands. Reading residents did an excellent job of conserving water this past summer, but the days are cooler and shorter now, and plants and lawns don't need as much water. We can meet our goal by running sprinklers just 2 days a week, or set your timer to 60% of normal, and be sure to turn sprinklers off altogether before and after it rains. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing, cash management services, space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl Bott and Eric Wichter, my co-host today. Eric, president of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank, a business bank.
Good to be here.
Well, you know what?
Could I do business?
The only reason I'm here is because Linda and I are dearest, because Five Star Bank had faith in us. And we're starting our seventh year here next month.
Scary. One more success story.
Ooh. Hey, another success story. Head on down to View 202 this Sunday and listen to Linda sing on brunch 11 to 2. Sorry, 11 to 1 during this Sunday. And brunch course goes all morning and into the afternoon, where wine is at half price. And Linda and her group will be singing outside unless it's raining. And then she'll be inside where it's great in there, too. Otherwise, you're outside with fire pits, and it's just wonderful out there. Give them a call at 226-8439 for reservations. Come on out on the deck out there. It's a lot of fun. We're here with Leah Tate, who is running for city council, and right now, she just threw her hat in the ring, and we're talking a lot of generalities here. But one of the things that needs to be addressed is, again, is vision for the city. Do you have, it seems like one of the questions that people have is, where's the city going? Are we going to, you hear some people talking about tax raises, and you have others talking about, look at all the amount of money we're paying our employees that they can retire at age 52 at 100%. Unfunded liabilities, 15 or 60-minute response times, homeless everywhere on the streets.
I was waiting for the list to go further.
I just stopped. I've got four more pages here, but what is your vision, Leah? We've got like 10 minutes left. Just give us a couple minutes of that.
Well, I would say right now my personality is so different than anyone on the council. I tend to be a little more positive or negative. I'm more blunt and I'm a little impatient, but I like to get things done. I'm a person that likes to start a project and finish it in an appropriate amount of time. Saying all that, I realize that there is a bureaucratic process, and I'm coming from two huge healthcare organizations, Kaiser
and the VA.
I understand process. but there has to be an end in sight. There has to be goals. There have to be objectives. And the people direct that. And so I believe in that.
Does the council direct the staff on things to do?
It trickles down. So Kurt Starman, serves at the pleasure of the council, and he gives direction to staff. So city council guides.
Gives direction to Kurt.
Yes, yep, and it trickles down that way, and that's how it's set up.
No matter how good one person is, they have to build coalitions when there's five. And it seems like every time that there's been that a raise has been brought up for city employees, that it's happened. And we look at the front page of the paper yesterday, and we have people that are making $220,000 a year, not counting their medical. And we have several well over $100,000. One of whom is retiring at age, we've had two of them retire, or three or four of them retired age 54, 53 to 54, at their full salary of over $100,000. Do you think something should be done about that?
Like I told you, I haven't held that
right
and read the paper in my hot little hands. So I can't really answer exactly the people that are earning.
Oh, no, I'm not even looking at the people who are earning. And frankly, it's not the people that are earning it, because then it goes back to the city council. Because if somebody offers me a job and says, hey, I'm going to pay you $220,000 a year, do you want it? And I go, yeah,
I'm
I'll
in.
Take that.
With benefits?
Where do I live? Yeah. And he, well, you live up in Redding, California. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Do I get benefits? Oh, yeah. But I'm, I guess what I'm getting at, in just a general sense, because, again, I don't want specific answers here, but a general sense of that fact has a lot of people, they're looking at it because the average wage of somebody in Redding is $50,000. Mm. They see people getting paid this much money, retiring. I mean, even the military doesn't give them 50% anymore, 20. So
you'd say, though, that, I mean, one of the roles of the city council is to develop with management and approve a budget. And part of the budget process is how you allocate money and where you allocate it. And these sort of issues can be influenced through that process.
No, I agree with that.
And that's kind of the role. And, where, you know, when the pressure is when a budget's put in front of you and you say, you know, the buck stops here.
Right. And again, you know, my personality is different than anyone else. I'm very cordial with most of the city council people, but I'm different. And I like to get projects done. I like to start things
and that accomplish I can things. Get.
Yes, I don't like them hanging out in the wind and not accomplished. So that's just a reflection of who I am.
Well, no, and everybody wants to do that because you're objective driven. You know, here's my objective, and I want to do it. And here's my sub-objectives that I have to accomplish to get to my objective. You know, but I know that you've talked about the mental health, trying to coordinate all of this.
Collective.
Would this be something like to put together a plan or something like that?
In my head, it would look like this. We'd get all the stakeholders, the different corners, substance abuse, mental health, homeless. One room, it'd be a very big table. And then we'd have, what are the priorities? What are the top two things that substance abuse leaders need, mental health leaders need, crime people need? What do we all need? And we need to make a list and prioritize that list. That at least gives us a starting point.
That's pretty straightforward.
And, you know, just because of my personality, the welcome to that kind of stakeholder group meeting would be, all of you are the best, the top that Shasta County and Redding have to offer. We don't need to hear everyone's personal stories. We have an objective. Let's get it done. And not too warm and fuzzy, but when we have an objective, I think we need to focus.
Well, I agree on that.
There you go.
I'm speechless.
How did you do that?
I'm not speechless. I'm just thinking
He's
to myself.
Thinking ahead.
I'm just thinking, is that okay? You know what? That's
get the stakeholders in the room, and let's make up our priorities, make decisions, and go.
And you know, and we need
checking them off the list.
And we need to do that. We need to make sub-objectives, or you know, we need to do it so that okay, we're going to do this and this and this and this and this. I again think that the fact is that public safety and infrastructure are the two things the government's got to do.
Right.
Anything else after that is if we have money. So public safety, infrastructure. Can we drive on our roads? Are we safe walking down the streets? Are we safe walking down the river trail? And if we're not, what do we have to do that? Okay, mental health is part of that. That's fine. I can see that. Okay, we need a sobering tank.
And that's your priority list head, right?
And that's right. But I think it's the priority list of most people out there. They want to feel safe. Nobody wants to feel at risk. So I think that's one of the things that, and then when they come in there with all, you know, with all this bravado, not you, but in the last election, coming in and saying, oh, we're going to do this, and here it is, 11 months later, we haven't done anything, nothing. And I can tell you right now that one of the big things that the this blueprint for public safety says, we don't need more policemen. I mean, how ludicrous can that be? So right there makes me suspect, you know, it makes everything else in this thing suspect, if you say we don't need more policemen. So I just find it, here it is 11 months later, we still don't have anything, we still got the same problems, and if they're not as bad, it's only because only thing we can hope for is a really, really, really bad winter that chases people south.
Wow.
Leah Tate. We've known Leah now for, 7-8 years. And I have the utmost respect for you, as I do all the other people that are running. And I wish you the very best. And you're going to be back on many times, but we're going to give you last words here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I have lovely co-hosts today.
Thank you.
I just, you know, I really want people to know that Reading is in my heart. Reading is my community. I'm raising my children here. I'm not going anywhere. We have a family business here. So this isn't something that I'm doing because I want to be well known. I want to be popular because I could go bad and good. but my passion is for improving this area, and I think I have a unique set of skills to do that at this time with my mental health background, and I appreciate it.
Yep. And Friday was the kickoff.
Absolutely.
What's next?
You know, I'll let you know.
All right, good.
How do people get a hold of your committee or your...
We are live on Facebook, Leah Tate, and leahtate.com is my political... you know, website for this area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just so people can get in and see what you stand for and all those things. And as we go through the year, we'll be extremely interested in bringing all the candidates in, as we will, and getting more specific as we get closer and closer and closer to the election itself to hear exactly how you're going to do things. And that sound in the background, of course, is our emergency weather report. That doesn't mean anything. It comes in and checks itself every day.
Back
hey, thanks so much to Eric Wittstrom here, Five-Star Bank.
Always
and
pleasure.
Leah, thank you.
Thank
always.
You.
And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. In the wake of the Paris terror attacks, President Obama is on the defensive. He's defending his strategy for defeating ISIS.
At a news conference in Turkey, the president offered this concession about Friday's deadly attacks.
The terrible events in Paris were obviously a terrible and sickening setback.
But he defended his military strategy against ISIS and said it's ultimately going to work. And he dismissed the call for sending U.S. ground troops into the region.
That would be a mistake.
Mr. Obama, who grew irritated amid repeated questions about his strategy, said he did not underestimate the strength of the Islamic State group. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Our military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, worries about the radicalization of people in the U.S. He's concerned they could engineer another large-scale terror attack on American soil.
And I fear that if we don't really get serious about that, that's exactly what's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon.